I'm an alcoholic. I'm really grateful to be here. My sobriety date is December 31st, 2013. I have a sponsor. This is my home group. And I have sponsees, and I've worked the 12 steps. I say those things because those are the things that still keep me sober. 3 years later, they're like really important to me. And they're the thing that I put first in my life because everything else kind of just falls apart when I don't. So I'm just going to talk about, you know, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. So what it was like was I grew up in a family with both dry and active alcoholism. None of that makes me an alcoholic. It's just like a fact of my upbringing. And I'm an alcoholic because I have an abnormal reaction to alcohol where it's like when I drink, because I have multiple of them. So when I drink, you know, my goal is always to black out. I don't remember a time when I was drinking that I did not black out. And the funny part about that for me was that I grew up saying I was never going to drink. That was like my thing because my parents were in AA and they would bring me to meetings and I would think it was really boring and I would wonder why they took so long to do 12 steps because it seems like you should just do them really quickly and then like have your Saturday nights back. But they did not and I was like really not interested in that. But nevertheless, you know, my parents, they were loving, and my sister was loving, too, and they tried. But I also, just by the nature of sometimes this happens, like, my family was pretty abusive. And they tried their best, but I ended up, my coping mechanism for living in the household that I did was I learned how to blame myself for everything at a really young age. It was a lot easier to make everything my fault, and it was a lot easier for me to carry the burden of the things that weren't actually my responsibility. And that's a lot to carry as like a four-year-old, like thinking that like your parents' divorce is your fault, the reason why your sister hits you is your fault, the reason that like everything bad that happens in your family is your fault. And so that led to me having like suicide ideation by the time I was 10, which I thought everyone did. So like it didn't really, like I thought that was totally normal. And it turned out that it wasn't. But I didn't learn that until like a lot later. But yeah, so I was very against drinking. Like when my friends started to drink, I grew up on the south side of Chicago where everyone starts drinking at 11. And I didn't start drinking till 16, so I was like really reserved. And you know, I was always telling people like, oh, that's so bad. Like you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't do drugs, da da da. And then I was invited to a party and when I was 16 and I felt included and I never felt included. I was sick a lot as a kid. I was bullied a lot as a kid. And so I went, and I completely blacked out. I drank. I don't even remember what I drank. What I do remember is that, like, there's a picture of me with, like, a whole bottle of Jägermeister that apparently I had to myself. And I, like, made out with some random guy that I didn't know. And I, like, cut myself with a dental tool that I found in someone's house. And I, you know, just did a lot of different things, and I woke up the next morning, and I was like, this is amazing. This is the only thing that I want to do forever. Because, like, all those consequences didn't mean anything to me, because I finally felt like, you know, like how, like a part of, like how we talk about here, once you, like, come around for a while feeling a part of something in AA, I felt that way when I drank. I felt that way when I was with these group of people, when I was, like, intoxicated. And I also, like, for me, what I've realized is that it also, it made it a lot easier for me. Drinking made it easier for me to blame everyone else. I'd gone for so long blaming myself for all the problems. And they talk about, like, in the big book, we sort out, like, when we get sober, we sort out, like, what were faults of our own and what were the faults of others, and we don't take on other people's stuff. So I kind of went to the two extremes where, like, when I was younger, it was, like, it was always my fault. And, like, everyone else's problems were, like, on me. And then when I started drinking, I was like, okay, fuck that. It's all your fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my sister's fault. It's my grandparents' fault. It's, like, society's fault. It's, like, the system's fault. Like, it was all this crazy shit. But, you know, I grew up with, you know, in this house with, like, parents who were sober. So, like, I didn't have regular access to alcohol in high school. And that kind of, like, stilled my progression a little bit. Every time that I did go get drunk, which was usually like at a golf course for some reason, with a bunch of like kids with like one like handle of something, I always ended up just like completely blacking out. And then I went to college, and there were no more parents, and there were a lot of people who had access to alcohol, and that just really sped things up. I was, you know, if I wasn't drinking, I was like smoking outside issues every day, and like just completely didn't care, really. Like, the thing for me was that as long as I looked okay, and as long as other people like knew that like I was doing okay, or it seemed like I was doing okay, it didn't really matter if I felt okay on the inside, or if like my actions were actually useful to anyone or anything. So I was doing okay. I had like a 4.0. I like was student body president. I was all this shit, but inside I was like miserable. And that kind of went on until I was in my sophomore year of college, and I was at a party. I was not drunk for once. And I was on a porch, and it collapsed, and I fell onto concrete and broke my back in 3 places. And the reason why I bring up that story is because most people would be like, okay, I'm going to go, like, to the hospital, or, like, I'm going to call an ambulance, or, like, I'm going to do something actually useful. But I went and smoked 10 bowls because that's what was suggested to me, and I said, that sounds like a great idea. And I did that, and then I walked with a broken back, crawled up these stairs to, like, to the subway that was above ground, and didn't go to the hospital till the next day. And they were like, yeah, you broke your back in 3 places. And I was like, really? Because, like, I walked home. It was fine. And then that kind of stilled my progression because, like, I was home with my parents on a lot of heavy painkillers. But the whole time that I was there, I did not abuse the painkillers. I was just really pissed that I couldn't drink with my friends the way that I wanted to. And my friends would call me, and I would be so upset that I would just start crying, and my parents would think I was in pain, but really I was just, like, felt like I was missing out on this whole life thing that only felt okay when I was drinking. So I got better. I, like, went to back rehab. I got better, and I went back to college, and, like, all the consequences for me were kind of removed because, like, something that I always forget and that I didn't realize till I got sober was that I was about to fail out of college when I broke my back. I hadn't been going to class. I hadn't been doing any of the work I was supposed to be doing. I wasn't showing up to my job. And then I broke my back, and then I got a medical leave. And so no one knew. So when I went back, it was even better because, like, everyone thought that I had been doing everything right. Everyone thought that it was this horrible tragedy had happened to me. Like, oh my God, that poor girl, Nicole, and I would just be getting free, like, alcohol from everyone, because they were like, we're so sorry that you had this horrible thing happen, and I was like, I know, my life was so hard. And my parents were like, you shouldn't have to work a job, so we're going to pay for your life to live in your apartment, and, like, whatever, and then, like, here's extra money, so that all went to drugs and alcohol. I just had no consequences, and, like, it really sped things up for me. I had this long-term boyfriend who I had been with since high school, and he was, you know, he said to me, like, I'm concerned about your drinking, and I said, I'm concerned that you suck, like, we're breaking up, and then we did. Then I started, you know, because I can't be alone, I started dating another guy who lived in Indiana, and he had regular access to alcohol and drugs. So I was going to Indiana every weekend, and it didn't count that I was getting fucked up every weekend because it was Indiana, and that's not a real place. And just all this crazy shit in my mind, but it all seemed so normal. Like, I was like, this is great. I'm doing great. I'm on top of the world. Like, I'm like, I don't have to do anything. I don't owe anything to anyone. Everyone feels sorry for me. I'm finally getting all the attention that I always wanted. And, you know... But at the end of the day, like, I was feeling those things outwardly, but inwardly, I was, like, there was that part of me that was, you know, well, I guess not even that inwardly, because I was talking to one of my old friends, and she was like, yeah, you would always ask me if, like, you were an alcoholic like your mom when you were drunk. Like, apparently I asked multiple people that, like, all the time. Like, I would be like, do you think I'm an alcoholic? And they'd be like, Nicole, we're at a frat party right now. Like, can we not talk about it? And I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. But so that kind of went on, and so I was dating this guy. Things were getting, you know, more and more unmanageable. My parents were starting to get a little bit, like, concerned because I kept on saying, like, I needed refill of my antidepressants, but it was always, like, $100 once a week for antidepressants, which I don't know. It's very strange that, like, my parents, who were both in the program, never caught on to the fact that I was an alcoholic, and when I told them that I needed help, they were like, really? Oh, my God. We never would have thought. And it's like, you picked me up from the middle of the field in, like, bumfuck Indiana. I don't know why you didn't, but they didn't, because that's how they drink, and they thought it was normal. And so, yeah, that kind of went on, and then it was a couple of days before New Year's, and the year before, I didn't get to have New Year's the way I wanted to, you know, because my back was broken, and I didn't get to get really fucked up and have this crazy, like, experience. So I was like, I'm going to go on a 4-day bender, because that's what I'm going to do. And it did not work out well. It was a few days before New Year's, and all I remember is that, like, Monster was put in my wine, and I finally realized, like, I finally learned how to roll my own joint, and then I blacked out, and I woke up, and I burned off half my eyebrow, and I had bruises all over my body, and I had cheated on my boyfriend, and that was the one thing that I had never done. I had never cheated on anyone. That was, like, my saving grace, because, like, I had shamed other people for that, which I'm not proud of today, and, like, today, like, I don't shame other people for their actions. Or try not to, but, like, defects, but I was, like, always, like, that was my one saving grace that I never did that, and I did, and I don't know if it was even, I used to think it was just that, but I think it was just a combination of, I was doing all these things that were so against my nature of who I thought I was gonna be, or who I thought I was, and I just kind of couldn't do it anymore. And I just remember looking at myself in the mirror and, like, my eyebrow being gone and these bruises being on my body and, like, feeling this horrible guilt and shame. And I was just like, I don't think I really want to drink anymore. But then I was like, but how do I not do that? Because it's the only thing that makes me feel okay, you know? Like, I, you know, it was the only thing that kept the suicidal thoughts away. It was the only thing that, like, made the things that happened in my family okay. It was the only way that I could process things was by getting fucked up. And so I called my mother, who at the time I did not know, but she was currently relapsing and not telling anyone. But she actually took me to my first meeting, which is why I think this program is, like, that's why I think life is so weird and why this program works when it, like, when all things shouldn't, because I had my drunk mother taking me to my first meeting and I managed to stay sober. You know, and then so on New Year's Eve, I went to my first meeting with my mom. On New Year's Day, I went to my second meeting with my dad. It's very weird. And then I stayed sober. You know, I immediately, you know, got into the steps. I was very lucky. I went to one of my first young people's meetings, actually, in Chicago. And my parents were like, just get an interim sponsor. It doesn't matter. Just get one. And, like, again, I think it's, like, really amazing for me. Like, you know, I realize now I'm so grateful and I'm so lucky that I had parents that were, like, in the program and that I had that kind of knowledge, because there's a lot of people who don't. And, like, I think that it's really important to remember that, like, you know, AA doesn't, you know, if you're, like, in this room, like, you're one of the lucky people, even if it doesn't feel like it. And I remember when people would say that to me, and I'd be like, fuck you. Like, I have to be here, and I don't want to be here. I want to be home, or, like, I want to be, like, I don't know. I want to be someone else. But, like, literally not everyone gets this chance, and not everyone gets to, like, grow the way that we do in this room, in these rooms, I guess. But so I met this girl, and I thought she was really pretty, and she had cool clothes and stuff, so I was like, will you be my sponsor? And she ended up being my sponsor until I moved here. And she was amazing, and it turned out she was more than just, like, cool clothes. She was, like, a really great person who, like, went through a lot of the same stuff as I did, and, like, would really, honestly, just didn't buy any of my bullshit. She did not feel sorry for me. which I really needed. I needed someone to not, like, pity me. Like, I told her about my backbreaking thing, and she was like, that sucks. You want to, like, do your step work? Like, you're, like, that sounds, like, hard, but, like, I don't really care. And, like, she was like, if I didn't call her for 3 days, she would be like, you know, if you don't call me for 3 days, I'm not really your sponsor, right? And I was terrified because I had nothing else. I had nowhere else to go. My parents knew the gig was up with my parents. My friends all thought that I was insane. Like, there was nowhere else, like, for me, I guess, maybe, like, materialize. Like, I know that there's a lot of people who come in and, you know, they really have nowhere else to go. And that's not my story. But my story is that emotionally, like, there was nowhere else for me to turn to. And I felt really, like, abandoned by life, if that makes sense. Or that I had somehow, like, made life too impossible for me to navigate without this program. But yeah, so I immediately got into the steps, and it was like, it was just a really amazing thing to, like, be honest with people and to, like, want to be honest with people. And then I, you know, I did my 4-step and I did my 5th step, and I was lucky enough, like, when I did my 5th step, it was like, I won't say that it was like a white light moment, but it was this moment where, like, all those things that I had obsessed about, like, when I had, like, you know, all the things with my family, all the blame that I had put on myself, all the blame I had put on other people, like, that had left my mind for a little bit, and, like, I felt just, like, it was like my head was not clogged up with all the bullshit that I fill it with for, like, an hour. And then bullshit started to filter back in because, like, I'm a human being who lives in the world, and, like, I, you know, create, and I'm an alcoholic, so I create a bunch of bullshit in my head all the time. But, like, I was able to, you know, clear that out for a little bit, and I felt a presence of my higher power. And, like, that's not to say that, like, you know, it, like, I have not had, it's important for me to say that I have not had, ever had a pink cloud experience. I'm very happy for those who do. That sounds awesome. I'm really jealous of you, and I've had to work through that jealousy in inventory. But, like, I didn't, you know, everything, my circumstances in my life after I got sober actually got worse, I feel like. You know, like, I had to deal with, like, my best friend got raped by my cousin in my house. My grandma died, who I was very close to, who helped raise me. I have, like, ongoing health issues that just kept on popping up and continue to pop up in sobriety. Like, all those things happened, right? And, you know, they're all things that I, like, should have, or, like, my mindset should, I should have drank over. Like, I should have done it because, you know, I don't know how to handle things without alcohol. But, like, in this program, I learn how to handle things without alcohol. I learned that, like, I can, like, reach out to other people when I'm feeling upset. I've learned that I can set boundaries with other people. You know, like, I can, you know, my mom relapsed. I grew up with a sober mom, and my mom relapsed when I had 7 days in front of me, multiple times, actually, since I've been sober. And it was really, it's been a really hard road for me to deal with that. But I've also learned that, like, you know, I don't have to make my sobriety about anything else but my own personal journey and my own personal sobriety, you know? And that's something I feel like we struggle with a lot in this room, and, like, obviously that goes into, like, another fellowship, but, like, I think it's something, like, worthy to note that, like, you know, we can't make our sobriety about other people. We can't base our growth on other people. We have to do it for ourselves, and usually the other stuff follows. But so, like, the circumstances in my life haven't necessarily gotten better or, like, easier always, but, like, I've grown so much that I can meet them, you know? Like, I take care of myself and I take care of others in a much healthier way than I ever thought was possible. Because when I thought about caring about myself and caring about other people, I thought what that meant was that I had to make everything perfect. Like, everything, if I was properly taking care of myself and properly taking care of other people, that meant nothing bad happened to either entities at all. Everything was great. Everyone looked awesome. Like, the world was awesome. We did nothing but awesome things. It was just awesome. But, like, that's just not how life works, you know? And, like, today, like, the way that I take care of myself is I, like, come to these meetings. I, like, sponsor people, which has like been like the biggest gift of my life, is like sponsorship, both like being a sponsee and like also sponsoring other people. Like, I, you know, I can't even explain how much that like helps me get through the day when things are difficult, is to have someone who like I'm accountable to, and then have other people be accountable to me, is like some magic shit that like I never would have thought would be my life. Because my inherent thing is like, no one should ever depend on me, because if you depend on me, then like I'll let you down, or if I depend on you, you'll let me down, and then I'll just be a whole mess. But like I learned in this program that that's not true. Like, you can be an accountable person and people can be trustworthy. And like what my life looks like today is like, you know, I moved here to New York. I hated New York before I got sober. I hated it here. I would come and visit my sister, and I would be like, I hate it here. It smells bad. I get sick every time that I'm here. It's awful. I hate all of you. And then, you know, I was... Oh, okay, good. Sick. I didn't know what that meant for a second. Sorry, time is confusing to me. But anyway, I moved here to become a teacher, so that's kind of scary that time is confusing to me. But, like... Yeah, so I got sober, and a year after I got sober, I got an opportunity to move out here to teach, and it's, like, one of the greatest things that I've ever done, you know? Like, I've grown so much in the way where, like, I wouldn't have done so if I hadn't moved. I've, like, met so many wonderful people here in New York that I wouldn't have met if I didn't move, obviously, but, like, it's, like, this... thing where like I, you know, all my family lives in Chicago and in the Midwest, and I moved out here and I'm able to like have my own sobriety and have my own life, but I'm at the same time I'm able to show up for other people. Like my whole job, like I'm a special ed teacher, like my whole job is showing up for other people, and then I come to these rooms and I show up for other people, and then I like deal with my like sick family and I show up for them. But like the awesome other thing is that people show up for me, because like what I put out into the world is, like, what I get back, like, so many times over. And, like, I've rebuilt through, like, amends and through, like, showing up and, like, being a person who, like, does what they say that they're going to do. Like, you know, like, me and my dad used to have the worst relationship. And now, like, me and my dad go to meetings together, and when we're, like, in the same place, and we actually... text each other AA literature stuff now in the morning, like as a morning meditation thing, which is like such a beautiful gift that I didn't even know that I wanted. Because when I was like, before I got sober, like what I wanted to do was like, I wanted to like get onto the real world, because then you could like drink a lot and get all the attention you wanted, and like you'd have this notoriety thing and it would be like cool, and like you could get fucked up and be an idiot for free. But, like, now, like, my dream is, like, being able to be a person worthy of, like, the respect of people and worthy of, like, the time of other people. And, like, to go back to, like, that whole thing at the beginning where I thought that everything was, like, everything was either my fault or everyone else's fault. And today, like, I, through, like, inventory, through, like, reaching out to other people, through, like, you know, having a God of my own understanding, I'm able to, like, properly see things most of the time, or, like, be challenged to see them most of the time the right way, and, like, recognize what I own and what I don't own. Like, what is my things, what are my actions that I need to take, and what are the actions that, like, I can't do, you know? And, yeah, so I'm just really grateful to be here. And I'm really grateful to this room. This meeting was the first meeting I went to in New York, and you guys all took me in and made me feel like, again, like a part of when I was really nervous about like moving to a new city. So I just wanted to express my gratitude to this meeting too. And yeah, I'll keep coming back.